الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى
نعم
وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. So we're beginning the 18th juz today, and that starts the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the believers are the ones who are successful. And then He describes the characteristics of the believers. They're the ones that establish the prayer, they avoid vanity and vain pursuits, they guard their private parts from illicit relationships, and they guard the trust. And these are the people who will enter paradise. Then it goes into a discussion about embryology and the stages of creation. And after a person is fully formed, then obviously they will have to die. And after they will die, they will be resurrected. And just like He created man, He created the seven heavens, and He sends down the rain. And from there, He makes the gardens come forth. And He has also given us the favor of livestock, cattle, that we eat from and we take many benefits from, and boats to travel on. So speaking of boats, the next story that comes is the story of Nuh alayhi salam and his people. So He called them to the worship of one God, and they replied by saying that, and casting upon Him the aspersion that you're just trying to seek power in the earth. And, they made the argument that this is something, like, we've never even heard about something like this from our fathers, or that you're possessed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Nuh alayhi salam to make a boat, and then He put a pair of each in there, and also the people, the believers who followed him, and after the, or for his family, except for that his one son. And after the great flood, there's a new generation that was populated. And prophet came to them. However, they falsified the prophet, saying that these are just ordinary men, and they didn't get how they could be resurrected. And their attitude was, it's all about this life. In hiya illa hayatun ad-dunya. We live, we die. It's all about this. This is all there is. And they would say that this person is just making it up. And just like Nuh alayhi salam, the prophet sought help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though it's not explicitly mentioned, it would appear that the reference here is to either the nation of Ad or Thamud. And so the awful clap took them, and then there was another generation that came after them. And the prophets came in succession, but and every time these prophets were belied and rejected, and the people who did so were destroyed. Then we're reminded how in Isa alayhi salam and his mother Maryam, there are signs of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create. And the messengers are told to eat and good deeds. And from this verse, we get the understanding that it is so important to eat that which is halal, that which is good, because it gives birth to good deeds. There's a spiritual connection there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we've made all of these prophets one nation, meaning there's just one religion. Which is to worship one Allah, not to make any partners with Him. But the problem is that people broke off into different sects. And the people in each one of these sects, they're super happy, and they think like they're exultant in their own sect. They think they got it all figured out, they got it right. They're so comfortable and attached to their way of life. So we're told, let them be. The fact is that the fact that they have a lot of things doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Rather, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the believers who spend in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way, and that their hearts tremble at the thought of returning to Him. Those are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the jaza of. Those are the ones, who will who engage in doing good deeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't encumber people more than what they can take. And as opposed to these other disbelievers, not only do they make partners, but they do shirk, but they also engage in other bad deeds until the punishment comes to them. And at that time, no one can help them. And what is their problem that they don't believe? Don't they contemplate or see what happened to their forefathers? Do they not recognize the messenger, or do they think that he's possessed? And the reality is that they don't like the truth. And if the truth was to be concordant to their desires, meaning say whatever was the right thing, if that was to be made mutabik or equal to what they wanted, there would be chaos. And the Prophet didn't have any ulterior motive. He wasn't asking them for money. And the distressing calamities that come in this world, these are supposed to wake them up, but they don't wake them up. They don't make them return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will be strongly awakened when the punishment of the hereafter comes. Then we're reminded how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings, from eyesight to hearing to our very existence, but that people are not thankful. And people had one of the ways that they were not thankful is that they used to deny resurrection. And so they would say that, are we going to be dust and then we're going to be resurrected? And this resurrection was something that they said, oh, you know, our fathers were promised this resurrection thing, this final hour thing as well. So, you know, it hasn't happened yet. So what are you talking about? But these are the same people. If you're going to ask them that for who is the earth and who is the Lord and who has power, everything, they recognize and they will admit that it's Allah. So why don't they rectify themselves? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take a son. And if the fact is that if there was more than one God, then they would vie with each other for supremacy. That's the nature of beings. So that's one of the proofs that there isn't, you know, a holy trinity or more than one God. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to bring about punishment. We're told to repel evil with that which is good and to seek refuge from shaitan. And in the hereafter, people will beg for a chance to go back to the world so that they can make right. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in here, ya kalimatun huwa qailuha. It's just something that they're saying. It's just words. Because they got a chance every single day that they got up. It was a new start. It was a fresh beginning for them. And they didn't get it right. So what's there to say that if you gave them one more chance, that somehow they would come and behave the way that they should have? People would just repeat the same thing again. And you say, well, this time they've actually seen the hereafter. I mean, people can write it off. They say, oh, that was just a dream. That's the nature of disbelief. It's a very deeply rooted spiritual disease. And the people whose scales will be heavy in the hereafter, those are the people who will be successful. And the people who didn't do many good deeds and whose scales are light will be losers. And that is the day. You know, they used to make all these arguments and fight and disputation in this world, but they will acknowledge they're being wrong on that day because there's no argument left. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, you know, there were some of my slaves who came to you. They said, Amanna, faghfir lana, warhamna. You know, they used to say that we believe and we seek forgiveness, but you took them as a joke. And now on this day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them successful for the time that they were patient. And the time that these people, the disbelievers, spent on the earth will seem so trivial and seem so short in the hereafter. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَبَثًا? Do you think that we've created you for no purpose? And that you're not going to return to him, that we just exist here purposelessly. And whoever makes a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without proof, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take him to reckon. Then we begin Surah An-Nur. And here in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the punishment for those people who engage in zina, which is having intimate relations and intercourse outside of marriage. So for the people who are unwed who do that, they will receive 100 lashes. And we're told that no one would do something this despicable except another zani or mushrik. So a guy who does this, no woman would do it, that with him, except she's also a zaniya or a mushrika. And the zaniya is the one, she would do it because she has, you know, poor character. And the mushrik would do it because they don't believe it's unlawful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about how if someone accuses a chaste woman, then they have, or of committing this type of crime, they have to bring four witnesses. And if they're not able to bring four witnesses that unequivocally can establish the sin, then instead they will get 80 lashes, which shows the great honor of women and the great honor of Muslims in general, that they have an isma, and you're not supposed to tear that. But what happens, for example, if a spouse comes in and he sees his wife, or a spouse comes in and sees their, you know, husband with someone else, and they can't go and get proof. So in that situation, there's something that's done which is called li'an, and with this, there's a whole process involved here. But a person will take, you know, several oaths that they're saying the truth, and the other person, depends on which point of reference you're starting from, but it involves basically establishing one's own truth and swearing that the other person is lying, and that if they're lying, that the la'na of Allah or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be upon them. So there's four oaths, and then they invoke upon themselves if they're lying. And if both parties do it, then how do you know, right? So what if the guy takes his five oaths and the woman takes their five oaths? Then they're just separated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, obviously one of them is lying, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it in the hereafter. Then we're told about the story about the calumny that was cast on Aisha and the accusation. So when the Prophet went on a journey, he would take his wife or wives with him. And on one of these journeys, Aisha radiallahu anha, she was missing her necklace, so she went to get her necklace, and she used to be in her private chamber that the people would lift and put on the camel. And so they didn't realize that she wasn't in there, so they put it, and then the caravan went forward, and by the time she came back, found her necklace and came back, everyone had gone. So she said that, you know, they're going to notice that I'm gone, so I'm just going to stay here and they'll come back and get me. And so there was another sahabi who was bringing up the rear, and he found her, and he's like, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." And so they get reunited with the caravan, but then the hypocrites begin to accuse her and slander her. And so then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually steps in and exonerates her, her innocence. But in the process, he teaches us so many lessons, such as thinking the best of people, not to spread rumors, the punishment for those who like to spread indecency in the community, that these are people who are following the footsteps of shaitan. And her father, meaning Aisha radiallahu anha's father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, was told not to cut off financial support to the family who may have been involved in those accusations and the spreading of those rumors, but rather to forgive, because if we forgive, Allah will forgive us. And we're told that we could never be purified except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the major ways in which a person's spiritual purification is manifest. It's in interpersonal relationships. It's not by how long you can sit and make zikr by yourself, but the way potential energy that is created in the spiritual realm is manifested in the kinetic energy in your relationships with others, in your akhlaq, in your character. That is how, that's one way of knowing how deep a person is. And that purification occurs only through the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes the great honor of women, and no one has a right to cast accusations on them when they are innocent. And then we're told how the good words are for the good people and the bad words are for the bad people. So these munafiqeen who are spreading all these accusations and making the slander on Aisha radiallahu anha, so they were putting a bad word on a good person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, this is the opposite way. Right? Bad is for bad, good is for good. And then there's a discussion of the manners of entering into other people's homes only after having solicited and gotten their permission. And then the believing men are told to lower their gaze and to guard their private parts, because that's the way that a person can stay away from zina and all of these things, is by first lowering their gaze. And the believing women are also told to do the same, and also to cover themselves except from their mahrams, for example, their fathers and their father and their children and so on and so forth, male children, so on and so forth. And the idea here, we're told here, is not for them not to expose their beauty and try to entice others. And then single individuals are instructed to marry and not to worry about poverty, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of that. And those who don't have means they're told that you should remain patient and remain chaste. That's not an excuse for you to do wrong things and to avoid, you know, engaging in illicit behavior. And there's also an instruction not to, for people at the time, they used to serve as pimps, and they used to prostitute their slave girls to try to earn money, and how that is illicit gain, and how the fault is on them for that type of coercion. And then comes the very famous ayat al-Nur, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the light of the heavens and the earth, meaning he guides the people in the earth and in the heavens. And Mathalu Nurihi, and the similitude of his light, and this is the nur of a believer, is like a nish. So the nish is the heart of the believer, in which there is a lamp. And that lamp is the Quran, and that lamp is Iman. And that light that shines bright, it's like a light that shines bright in a clear glass. And that clear glass is the heart of the believer, and it's like a pearly star, or pearls that come together to form a star. And it's lit from a tree that's always in the sun, and it gives forth an olive oil that is pure, and it's so bright that it's shining, and it's about to shine itself without having fire ever touched it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nurun ala Nur. So there's the light of the Quran, and there's the light of Iman. And when these lights get joined, meaning the Quran comes in the heart of a mu'min, this is Nurun ala Nur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides whomever he wants to his light. Then we're told about those individuals whom the world does not distract them from the remembrance of Allah, and that they will be rewarded, and how the disbelievers, their actions are like a mirage in the desert, or their actions are like darkness which is in the ocean, and there's a wave crashing above them, and a wave upon of that, and a wave, and clouds above that, meaning layers and layers of darkness. فَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نُورٍ, they have no light. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who joins the clouds and sends down the rain and alternates the night. And in all of these, there is a sign. And he created every moving animal out of water. And there's all different types of creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made. And then he talks about those people when they're called to judge by what was revealed, they sort of turn away from it unless it's actually to their advantage. And we're told that the person should be like the person who obeys Allah and his messenger. Those are the true ones who are successful. And they swear about a lot of things. You know, oh, wallahi this and wallahi that. But they, I mean, you don't need to swear. Just show it in action. Ta'atul ma'ruf. I mean, show your obedience to Allah and his messenger. And those who believe and do good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them vicegerents on earth. He will make them khalifa in the earth. And do not think that the disbelievers are unconquerable, or they cannot be overcome, or that they're so powerful that no one can stop them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more powerful than them. And then we're told about the manners for children to knock before entering upon their parents at various times of day, lest they catch their parents in a compromising situation. So this is sort of an instruction about haya. And when they become baligh and reach the age of puberty, then they should seek permission at all times. And then menopausal women can take off the jilbab as long as they don't show off their beauty, but it's better for them to refrain from doing so. And then we're told about the situation was that the Sahaba used to have so much fear and so much taqwa that they didn't want to eat with someone, for example, who was sick or someone who was blind, because they said the blind person can't see the different pieces of food. And what if I have an unfair advantage and take more food or better food than the person who's blind? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, relaxed the situation for them. And similarly, when the ayah was revealed about not to eat unjustly from the wealth of others, they were so scared that if I go to someone else, what if I'm unjustly eating their wealth, that they stop eating with each other. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates a relaxation in the matter again. And also in that society, because there was a great emphasis on generosity, they would just refuse to eat alone. So if they could have a whole camel that was laden with food, but they would not eat themselves and wait until someone else would come and eat with them. And even though it's better to eat with others, we're told that you can eat together or you can eat alone. And just like permission is asked upon entering, permission should be taken when taking leave from the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're told not to call upon him the way that people call each other. So, you know, people would say like, Ya Abu Bakr or Ya Umar. You don't say Ya Muhammad. We say Ya Rasulullah, or O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is an adab in that. Then we begin Surah Al-Furqan. So glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who revealed the Quran and His Messenger. He has no partner. And the people that they make partners never created anything, nor can they benefit nor harm. And they allege that this Quran is something which is contrived or something made up with the help of others, or that it's old tales. But rather, it's something that's been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're amazed how the Prophet just lives a quote-unquote normal life. He eats, he goes shopping. And they're like, why doesn't he have an angel? Why doesn't he have a treasure? And or they say that he's bewitched. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he wanted, he could have given him even more than that. But the problem is they don't want to believe in the final hour. And we're told the type of punishment that they will receive, that they will receive. They will literally beg for death. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, don't ask for death. Beg for many deaths. Meaning that terrible will be the situation. And is that better or paradise, where a person can have whatever they want? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives respite to some people, but then they get deluded and they forget the advice. And in doing so, they become doomed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that all previous messengers were also just normal people. People are thinking for something, you know, supernatural. But this is the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends messengers amongst the people from amongst themselves. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين